All right. Well, good morning. Welcome back. We are going to be jumping back into Tipping Point today. Thank you for coming last week, hearing what I'm going to be talking about, and then coming again this week. Like, it's a big deal, so I appreciate that you're here. We are having a lot of fun with this series, and just a, you know, just an insider information. The reason we're having so much fun is because I'm talking about giving, right? So we're gonna kind of buffer that with some fun and some excitement. How many of you guys heard that dying Mario noise a lot when you were growing up? Yeah, I get it. It's so like you hear that and you're like, man, I need to go play that game right now, right? Like, you just want to be a part of it. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to recap really quickly what I talked about last week, and then we'll dive into what we're going to be talking about today. So I want to talk about this board. Last week I had it on the screen. I'm going to put it here for right now. And so here's what I talked about. I said, we're talking about you, and there's three T's that we're talking about. There's tithing, there's tipping, and there's taking. Now, tipping and taking is all focused on you, and when you're tipping and taking, you're not able to expand the mission and the impact of the local church. And then we get to the third T, the tithing, is what we're talking about, this commandment from God, be obedient in giving. And when we tithe, we are giving back to God, and we're also giving back to others. And as we give to God and give to others, guess what it does? It expands the impact and the mission of the church. And so if this represents you, as you tithe and give to others, then they'll begin to see what you're doing, be blessed by your giving, and then they'll begin to take on and move from tipping and taking to tithing, and they'll get here, and then I talked about how it keeps going upward and outward, and that's how you see the mission and the impact expand and grow. So I gave all that to you last week. If you missed last week, go back and watch it as I just showed that all to you. And then what I'm going to do over the coming weeks is talk about each one of these T's, the taking, the tipping, and the tithing. I also want to give to you the key verse for this scripture, and where it all comes from, and that's 2 Corinthians. I'm going to give you verses 6 and 7. Only 7 will be up there, but I'm going to start with 6. It says this, verse 6, "For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord," and we see that, giving to God, "and then to give themselves to us." So we give it to God, we give it to others. And then it goes on and says, "just as God wanted them to," verse 7, "since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving." I share with you how at Kairos, we are excelling, and we're doing amazing things through all our different ministries and kids ministries and youth and in worship and presentation and just across the board in groups and brotherhood and sisterhood and reaching out. We're excelling in all of these things. And then I share with you some of the numbers where maybe we're not excelling so much in giving. Now, that giving, that generosity has led us to this point, but we want to continue to move from tipping and taking to tithing so that we can continue to expand the mission and the impact of the local church. See, as a church, we want to excel in that gracious act of giving. And this brings me to our main point, and that is this: generosity will tip the church towards greater mission and greater impact. That's our main point for this whole thing. That's what we're talking about. It's all about greater mission and greater impact. Not my mission, not just Kairos. This is the mission and the impact of God's church, of the kingdom of God, of the gospel going out, people hearing about Jesus, coming to know Jesus, and then beginning to live for him. And that's how you see the mission and the impact continue to expand. Now, Super Mario 3. Did anyone know about the infinite coin loop right there in Super Mario 3? That was in Boom Boom's castle, if you didn't know. Boom Boom. So you roll up into Boom Boom's castle and you take all his coins. That's just me, y'all, okay? I just wanted to say Boom Boom. Anyway, so that's what took place. He was in there getting all those one-ups, you know. It's an infinite coin loop. You can go in there. But essentially what Mario was doing was taking all the coins. Now it helped him, right? So I'm using that as a little segue to what we're going to be talking about today. And so I'm going to remove tipping and this little taking, and I'm going to move this big taking in. So today, this is what we're focusing on: taking. And I already talked about it. When we're taking, it's all focused on us. And here's the big deal. When you take and it's all focused on you, again, the mission and the impact doesn't go out. But it's not just affecting like the church, when you take it begins to shrink what God wants to do in you and through you. And so as you take, guess what happens? Even your impact, what God wants to do through you, begins to shrink. And so you can see how it minimizes and shrinks what God desires for you, how God wants to work through you. He blesses you, and he wants to bless you, but as he blesses you, there is a return that comes, and he wants you to bless others. Now, in this series, it's called Tipping Point, and for whatever reason, I wanted to use all T's, so I said tithing, tipping, taking. It flows well. You can remember that. And I got to thinking about this taking and about saying, hey, to you know what, you're taking from the church. And I was like, that's a little bit mean, right? You're like, I'm kind of offended that pastor's saying this to me. And so I said, there's another word for this, maybe a better word, because I think this is what we want for you. And that word is receiving. And so it's coming in to receive. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, about the receiving, because there are blessings. Everything we do, we want you to receive. We want you to come in and experience all of this, but it's got to be more. Now, I said taking and receiving, but in Malachi, there's another word that scripture uses. I want to share with you from Malachi 3. We're going to read verses 7 through 10. Follow along with me. Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask, how can we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You ask, how do we rob you? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. Think the tithes and the offerings. Verse 9 says, you are suffering under a curse. Yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessing for you without measure. Did you catch the word that Malachi used there? It's a little bit more harsher than taking. He said robbing. I want to pray before we dive into this. Will you pray with me? God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your truths. We thank you for how you call us to live for you, to be a model of your son, Jesus Christ. God, today, as we read your word, as your spirit speaks through your word, God, may we hear what you are specifically saying to us, how you are challenging us, and may we take that out and put it into action. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So in Malachi 3, we see God says, return to me. Return what? Return to me. He said, you've forgotten all that I've done and have begun to just keep for yourself. And in keeping, you are taking, you are robbing me, even in the midst of hurting, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of scarcity, you're still robbing me. The one person that you could go to and receive so much more, you're robbing from me. And he goes on, he says, you're doing this. However, if you bring the tenth, the whole tithe, if you honor me and be obedient in this way, what will happen? He says, the floodgates of heaven will be poured out upon you without measure. What a promise from God. Like an amazing, he gives you this challenge. You can look this up. This is the only place where God says to test him. In giving. And he wants you to test him. Where you think you can't, he can say, test me and see what I do. He says, test, it's amazing. And then Jesus, centuries later in the New Testament, here's what he says. He backs this up. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and it will pour out into your lap. Floodgates of blessing without measure. Now, let me be very, very clear. Neither one of these verses is saying that when you are obedient with the tithe, you will become rich. That as you give money, you will get money. Here's the guarantee is from 2 Corinthians 9:8. Here's what God's saying when he says blessing. God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Now, you take that word excel, what are we talking about? You're excelling in faith, you excel in preaching, you excel in passion, you excel in prayer, you excel in all these things you're doing, and he wants you to excel in giving. And when you give and when you are obedient, he pours out that grace that overflows that allows you to excel in every other way. That's the guarantee. Now, I've already kind of poked at this, and you're like, man, Pastor Brent just told me I'm robbing God. I didn't tell you that you were robbing God. I just read it out of the Bible. So there's that. here's the truth. I don't think anyone wakes up on a Sunday and says to themselves, today I want to go to that church and I want to take from them and I want to hurt them and I want to just ruin and diminish the mission and the impact. I don't think anyone has done that. If you know of someone that's doing that, let's you know, rally around them. Lay hands on them, pray over them, and then just, you know, send them on their way. No, I'm just kidding. No one's doing that. Now, here's the deal. If you come up on a Sunday and you got like this trash bag and you start just filling donuts into the trash bag, and then you got like a 128-ounce coffee mug that you're filling that up, and then you're just maybe you're taking from the church. But I have not seen that happen. So if you're doing that, you're really sneaky about it. Good job. I want to make sure you understand, I'm not saying that if you're not giving, that you're purposefully taking from the church. Maybe you are, but that's not what I'm trying to say. I do know that all of us come here to receive and be blessed by what Kairos has to offer. And that's why we do what we do. We want that for you. We want that for everybody. And maybe today you're here and you've never been taught the tithe. You've never even heard the word. You don't even know what it means. You've never been taught either by the church or by a parent or by anyone about giving to the church. And so this is new to you. Maybe your financial situation is bleak. And the thought of adding another expense is just overwhelming. Maybe you have been to a church and you did give faithfully. But the church mishandled the money, and they were not good stewards of it. And because of that, now you're a little bit more hesitant. Whatever the reason is, you join us weekly and receive blessing, but haven't yet taken a step to return the blessing. I want to speak into that. And my prayer is that you don't take it personally. I just want to give you these principles and help you see what God wants for you and what God wants to do through you. This series, here's what this series is about. It's about moving from just receiving the blessing, and God's already talked about it too, but also returning the blessing. So we receive it, but we also return it. And that's what generosity does. It moves us from just receiving the blessing to then also returning the blessing so that others can be blessed by God the same way. The blessing we receive at church is community. We get to worship together. We get to learn God's word together. We receive hope. We receive joy. We receive discipleship, mentorship. And we all need that blessing, right? We all need to receive that blessing to be blessed. But at some point, we have got to move from just receiving and take what we have received and then return it back to others. And that's when we begin to see the mission and the impact grow and move beyond just us. And maybe you say, okay, Pastor, though, I think I am being obedient to the tithe. I believe that I am returning the blessing to the church and others because I'm giving of my time. And I've heard so many people say this. Well, I don't give my money, but I give my time, and that is my tithe. So you volunteer every week, and that's my tithe. Let me just tell you, serving is another calling of every Jesus follower, but it is separate from the tithe. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And this is talking about, is this is another mandate from God. Listen, you Man, you are God's, and you are called to serve God with your time, but it's a totally different thing. And that is, as you serve, it's a spiritual act of worship, but it's separate from the tithe. Giving your time, while it's honorable and so appreciated, and it blesses so many, I just need to be clear, it is not the same as giving your tithe. Let me say this. Being generous with your time is not a substitute for the tithe. And I think someone needs to hear that today. It's not a substitute. God doesn't say, hey, you know, come and give to me, but if you can't, well, then just serve. You won't find that anywhere. But we've come to that place in our lives where we have convinced ourselves that that's what's taking place. Now, in either case, whether there's a lack of generosity in your time, because we should be serving as well, or in your tithe, it comes down to you, your priorities. And many times people say, well, when it comes, I have other plans. I have other expenses. I'm exhausted. My income is exhausted, right? We look at all these things. We look at where our time and our money is going, and from there we begin to shift our priority from just being about us to being more about God's mission, God's impact, about more people hearing about Jesus and the hope that he gives us. All throughout God's word, beginning all the way to end, you will hear God say, as you are obedient with your time and your tithe, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Let me shift gears a little bit. You see, when we give from what we have, not that we have an abundance, God doesn't say, hey, you know, now that you're doing good, now give. No, he says, be faithful with what I have given you and return it to me. Because that's the reality. Everything that you have was given to you by God. 100% of it is his. 100%. It's all his. And in his grace and in his mercy and his love and his compassion, he doesn't ask for 80%. He doesn't ask for 50%. He doesn't ask for even 25%. He says, I've given you 100%. Will you give back 10 so that others can experience what you experience? 10% of your time, 10% of your treasure. You work 40 hours a week? Man, go serve for 4 hours a week. 60 hours a week, go serve for 6 hours. You make $200 a week, give 20. You make $500 a week, give 50. You make $1,000 a week, give 100. It's 10% of 100% that God gave you. And I think understanding that helps so much. Coming to that place where you realize everything that I have, all the time that I have, all the treasure that I have, it's all from him. And he deserves all of it in return. But he just asks 10%. Now I wonder, now God's asking for 10, and we struggle with that. But I wonder what percentage you give to other things. What percentage of your time do you give to other things? What percentage of your financing, your treasure, do you give to other things? What percentage do you give on eating out? What percentage do you give to coffee? You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of calling you out, but calling me out at the same time. Because, man, have you ever gone to your bank statement and maybe just typed in coffee or Starbucks? Hopefully you type in Echo. I'm just kidding. This is a bad way to present this. But if you've ever gone and started adding it up, it's one of those things where you're like, oh my goodness, I spent $350 on coffee this month. And you may not even realize it, right? You just go and you want to frap at the end of the day because you done had it, right? And it's barely coffee, but it's so good and delicious. You're like, this is heaven, right? And you go and you look and you start adding it up. And then, you know, if you got kids, you go there, they want something. And you feel bad and you're like, fine. You have a cake pop, you know? And that's $4. It's a cake pop. It's tiny. I don't even think there's anything in there. It's just cardboard. The kids love it. There's sugar. Sugar-coated cardboard. Anyway, what percentage are you giving to coffee? And then, I mean, again, we're just beginning to examine some of these things. What percentage do you give to hobbies? To video games? Yeah, that's right. I said video games. Again, that was something that I began to examine, and I said, oh my goodness. Look, I give so much of my time and my money because video games cost money as well as your time. And then I look over here at my time I'm giving to God, and my money I'm giving to God. That's me personally. I don't know what it is for you. What about the time or percentage of time and money that you give to sports, to dance, to all those extracurricular activities for your kids? Whew, start adding that up. What about the percentage that you give towards Halloween or Christmas decorations? You know what I'm saying? Now, this is the one, the sacred cow. What about the percentage of money that you give to Disney World or any other theme park? I heard people go,
Universal.
Yeah, any of them. Think about it. Annual pass holder. You pay something for that, right? Some of you got multiple annual passes. Take that. Just take that one thing. Put it in a category. And then bring in what you give to God. See which one's more. Hear me out before you start throwing stuff at me. I know people are going to start booing me and stuff. You're coming at Disney, you know. I could come at Disney in all other kinds of ways, but I won't today. That's another sermon for another time. Anyway, I want to be clear. In all of these things I just shared, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing bad with them. But you got to examine them and begin to compare them to the percentage that you're giving to God. And it's so important. We need to examine these things. There was this financial devotional I did a few years ago. And this is something else to think about, too. And I want to wrap up this idea with this because I want you to get this as well and be encouraged. There's a devotional, and in the devotional, there's a guy who wanted to buy a Harley. Anyone got a Harley or want a Harley? Harley? No, nobody. All right, geez. Well, whatever. This guy wanted a Harley. And he was conflicted on spending that money, if he should spend that money. And he started thinking about all the things I could buy it, I could spend the money, and then it's going to cost me money to keep the upkeep, and then it's going to require time because I'm not just going to buy it to look at it. I also want to go out and enjoy it. And so he began to seek counsel from his pastor. His pastor, I'm so conflicted. I don't know if I should buy this for myself. I don't know if it would be a good investment. And the pastor just began to ask him some questions. He said, are you tithing? He said, yes. He said, are you serving? He said, yes. He said, are you like extravagant giving? Like, do you give in other ways? Yes. Are you living within your means? Yes. And then the pastor said to him, listen to me. You're doing all that God has called you to do. And in the other that he gave you, yes, buy yourself a Harley and enjoy that time because you are being obedient to God with your time, with your talent, with your treasure. Go out and enjoy that Harley for yourself. And it's so important that we see that. God wants us to experience joy and blessing, and I believe that will come naturally as we are obediently generous. Blessings are a natural result of obedient generosity. And I've experienced that, and I've seen so many other people experience that. Now maybe you could say to me, Pastor, honestly, today I can't, because of reasons beyond my control, I cannot give the full 10%. I hear you, and I get it. But that doesn't mean that you don't answer the call of every Jesus follower to be generous and to give. It's a call to those who have much and to those who have very little. Let me share a story from Luke chapter 21. Verse 1 through 4, and says he, and he's talking about Jesus here, he looked up, and he saw all the rich dropping their offerings into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. He says, I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all these people put in gifts out of their surplus, but she gave out of her poverty and has put in all she had to live on. And it's just, I mean, this is Jesus talking. And again, it's giving from what you have. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. It's about giving from the heart. It's about the mission and the impact. It's about loving people. Yes, we should all strive to give 10%. But when you give, it should not be reluctantly or begrudgingly. It should come from the heart. It should be out of love, like we talked about last week. Now, if we love people and we have a desire for people to come to know Jesus and find that hope, we, like 2 Corinthians 8, I gave this to you last week, should be begging to give all that we have to help people become a part of Jesus' kingdom. All that we have to help people embrace Jesus in their lives. It matters so much. Now, I want to share a fun little illustration with you guys. How many of you guys like 100 grand? The candy bar. I don't have 100 grand to give to you, but the candy bar. 100 grand. Everyone like these? These are really good. When I was, the first one I ever had, I believe, was when, maybe I was younger because my memory's bad, but the first one I remember, this is the core memory, you know what I'm talking about? I was in middle school, and in middle school, they do these fun awards. I don't know if they still do them, but they do these fun awards, and they vote for people, and they have these fun things. And in middle school, I was voted the most likely to ask for money. And my reward is they gave me 100 grand, and I was like, woo, and it was a big one, too. Now, let me share really quickly why that took place. I got time. During lunch, I would go through the line as we're standing in line, and I would just be like, hey, man, can I get a quarter? Can I get 50 cents? Can I get a dollar? I would do that just about every day. And it's not that I didn't have lunch. I got free lunch, and it was more than enough. But I wanted extra money to get the good stuff, okay? I wanted the zebra cakes, and I wanted the slushies. And so every day, I would just be like, what you guys got for me, okay? And it was bad. And that continued all the way into high school. And I get into high school, and I get to this point where I don't have to ask anymore. People are like, hey, Brent, here's your money for lunch. And, you know, just walk. They didn't even want to deal with it anymore. And some of my guy friends, they recognized this, and they saw this, and they go, Brent, like, why are people always giving you money? Like, how are you getting people to give you money? I'm like, I don't know. I think they just feel bad for me because I share a sob story. But I go in and I eat like a king, you know? And so they're like, well, how do we do it? I'm like, I don't know. I can't tell you my trade secrets, but here's what I'd like to do. Let's get a little bet going. I bet for the next whatever, however long, 30, 45 minutes, let's see who can get the most money. This is horrible, by the way. This is not a good example. I just want to share with you. And so for the next 30 or 45 minutes, we go out and we all come back. And in that time period, I collected $25, okay? And I kept it all for myself. I didn't share any of that. And I, the next day, asked for more. Okay, and so I'm sharing this 100 grand illustration. Just like, man, it was something, it was all about me. And so to show you, to make recompense for that, I want to give back, okay? Who would like 100 grand right now in their hand? Anybody? I'm going to start throwing these. If you don't want one, you just better be paying attention. If you were sleeping, you might get hit in the head. I heard that hit the wall. If that hits somebody, I'm sorry. Here we go. I'm coming to this section here. I got a lot, okay? Who said ow? I know. I'm sorry. Woo! Here we go. One's on the floor up here. Look, I don't want to, you guys in the front row here. And here we go. Here we go. Right there. I got a whole other bag. Come here, bag. Come here. Who still needs one? Okay, I'm going to try to, like, individually give to people raising their hands. Here we go. Right there. Oh, that was right in the hands. Ashley. Oh, that was not a good throw. Here we go there. And Liam, watch out. Okay. There you go. I got it back there, you know. Who else? Camera guy. And here we go in the media booth. That's enough of that. Okay, I gotta save some for me. Now, like I said, bad example, but here's what I wanna say to you from that. Middle school and high school, I asked for the wrong reasons. It was very selfish. Now, I get into being a pastor, starting a church, and if you didn't know, to start a church, guess what you need? You need some money. My coaches, you know, are like, hey, listen, you know, as the denomination, we're going to help you, but we also need to know that you can get money as well. And it was so hard. And as they were coaching me, they're like, hey, within the first 2 to 5 months, you need to do a giving series. You need to talk about the tithe. You need to be willing to ask. And I struggled with it. I struggled with it so much that I didn't take their advice. And it took me 2 years to do a giving series. And it was hard. And there, like I said, I shared some of the reasons why there's tension there. And again, it's people's money and finances, but I got to a place where I realized this, that it's too important not to talk about. Because the mission and the impact require our generosity. And so I knew I had to talk about it, because generosity tips the church towards greater mission and greater impact. And so I did. And so, you know, I share that to say, like, today I'm not asking you money for myself. I don't want to be selfish with my time. I don't want to be selfish with my talents. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be selfish with my treasure. I want to offer myself fully to the mission and impact of the local church. I want to be obedient with my time and my treasure, so that more people can come to know Jesus in their life. So today, my question becomes, are you only receiving and never returning? Or let me say it another way. Are you only taking and never giving back? Malachi 9 says, you're suffering, but you're still robbing me. And where we come and we only receive and we only take, and it diminishes what God wants to do in and through us, we got to understand that that also affects the church. Because when you're not giving upward and outward, then this person isn't reached. And they don't see you modeling and being obedient in the tithe, and so they begin to struggle with it. And then this person begins to struggle as well. And they get down to that. And what we see and what we know happens is that instead of having the mission and impact, I showed you this last week, how if all of us were doing this, how it would expand upward and outward, this is what it begins to look like. And I think in an individual basis, we see and we say it's not that big of a deal. But when you begin to see it and look at it, it is. In God's kingdom, in God's commands, what he calls us to, it's always a big deal. And it doesn't matter the amount. It doesn't matter how much. It's just that you are obedient and you're modeling it for others so that they can be reached by the gospel message. So today, if you struggle with giving to the church in any percentage, whether it's financial, whether it's a negative church experience, poor stewardship, my challenge to you is this. Just give. Give anything. Start somewhere. Just start giving. I've already said it so many, it's not about the amount, but it's the heart. It's that you understand what you're giving to and why you're giving, and that it's the mission and the impact of the church. And maybe you want to take it further. I told you about the tip point challenge, where my challenge is this: for the next 90 days, live off 90% and tithe the full 10%. And if at the end of that 90 days, you don't feel 100% blessed, or that your generosity is blessing the church, we'll give all of that back to you. And this is me. This is like, I just want you to understand that I have done this. I have taken this before, and I've seen it in my own life. And I've seen it in so many other people's lives, and that's why I'm issuing it to you. You see, by remembering what you've received from God, we shift our focus when we remember that. We remember what God has given to us and how God has blessed us as well. When we remember that, we shift our focus and remember that, and then we return it to God. And that's what it says, and as I wrap this up, as it says in Malachi 3, he says, return to me and I will return to you. Verse 10 says, bring the full tent into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessing on you for you without measure. Return to me. Return to me, and I will return to you. Floodgates of blessing. Floodgates of blessing on your church. Floodgates of blessings where new people are coming to know Christ. Floodgates of blessing. And again, this isn't necessarily financial. I think more importantly, it's heavenly blessing that we get to experience here on earth, where we get to experience and see and be a part of a move of God. Now, this is something that I've personally experienced in my life. I told you I took this challenge. It was over 14 years ago, and I heard about it, and it was issued, and I did it, and God has continually blessed me in so many ways. And he's blessed me financially, but the blessing is more than just financial. In a season When me and, well, as a young family, I had four kids. When we didn't have a car, in a season where me and my family, we were kind of living through some really bad financial mistakes, God opened up the floodgates of blessing upon us. And do you want to know how he did that? Through the local church, where people showed up and they gave us groceries and they bought us meals and they let me borrow cars. They went as far as giving me a car. In that time frame, I have gone out to my mailbox multiple times where I just wasn't sure how I was going to pay certain bills. And in the mail was a random check from a random place that's like, hey, you know what? You overpaid us. Here's some money. Here's the craziest thing. As I was getting ready to preach this series, again, I was feeling the tension. And I was asking my executive team, and I was asking Chris Hand, I said, man, you got to pray for me. Like, I know God's calling me to this, but there's this tension, and I'm trying to push away from it. And I continued to push away. And I finally said yes, and I said, you know what, we're going to do this. I feel like it's what God's calling me to do. And so last Saturday, I finished up preparing for the first week, and I go home, and my kids are playing outside, and I decided to go check the mailbox. Sometimes they check it, sometimes they don't. And there's a few things in there. Most of it's, you know, just garbage, like, you know, someone wants me to sign up for something. But I saw that there was a check. You know how you know when there's a check, right? Like, it looks like a check, and you're like... Sometimes checks are sent to the church, to my home. And so I was like, oh, maybe it's for the church. Maybe it's for the coffee house. Didn't think much of it. And I open it up, and it's about taxes. And I'm like, well, okay, that's not about the church. And it just said, hey, you overpaid. And I look at it, and it's a check for $1,500. I was just like, what? And instantly, I was like, just saying yes to God. Wrapping up what I'm about to preach to you, and there's this affirmation that God says, thank you for being obedient. Here's a small blessing. I shared that with my wife, that happened for me. And I'm not saying that's how it's always going to manifest itself, but I wanted you to hear that so you understand that. What I'm saying, I'm not just making this up. And it's not just a one-time occurrence. When God says he will open the floodgates of heaven and blessing will be poured out on you when you're obedient with something that he calls you to, don't think he won't do it, because he will. And man, what does that look like? Not just on the individual level, but what does it look like for the church? For more and more people to experience that blessing, because we are willing to move from just receiving to also returning. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to pray over our time today. Maybe today, or the last 2 weeks, you're just hearing about this. You never heard about this before. Man, I would say dive into some of this, the scriptures that I've given to you. Begin to learn more about the tithe and learn more about giving. If you have questions about just what the church is doing, ask me. I want you, as a believer, as a new believer, as someone who's learning about giving, I want you to excel in all the ways you're growing in Christ. But as 2 Corinthians says, I also want you to excel in the gracious act of giving. Not for me, and not just for you, but for you and for others. So I pray that for you. Maybe you're here today and you've known about this. You've been in church a long time. Maybe you've given before. Maybe you've tithed before. But you're in a season where you can honestly say, Malachi was talking to me. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit is taking place. He says, why are you taking from me? Why are you robbing me? You've received so much. It's time to return it. If that's you today, I want to encourage you right now, go to God and just ask him for forgiveness. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for taking from you. God, in all that you've given me, you really ask so little. And I'm sorry I haven't even been willing to give that. Spend time with that right now. Maybe it's your first time, second time, third time, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Can I just say to you today, forget about all the tithing stuff. What I want you to focus on is a relationship with Jesus, who gave all for you so that you wouldn't have to suffer the consequences of sin and hell. He gave it all. He gives forgiveness and salvation and eternal life, and he has that for you. Begin to step into that and walk in that. Start worrying about the tithe later. God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your spirit today. I thank you for just reminding us of just how generous you are. Reminding us of what we get to receive and what we get to be a part of and how we are called to return that so others can experience the hope, can experience the joy, can experience the peace, can experience the new life that we have found in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.